This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Baseball Spo, Baseball Spo.
Yeah, it is a Wednesday. It is 10:40, which means it's time for our guy Adam Lane, Baseball Spo, now Basketball Spo, as we're getting ready to turn over into Rocket season. They get going tonight, 7 p.m. against the Charlotte Hornets. So it'll be fun to see that. Before we get there, I do want to pay off on the Baseball Spo of it all, because Lopez, you had something baseball-wise. You're still involved in the World Series. You've got your favorite team, the Los Angeles Dodgers, playing against the Yankees. So
Yeah.
Let's
well,
go Dodgers!
I don't know about that.
Dodgers!
Yeah, I don't know about that, but we've been there already. Well, Spo, listen to our guy, your guy, Brian Cashman.
Wait a minute. Yeah, he doesn't have it just yet. Oh, you knocking stuff over.
Look,
wow.
That's why I got a lid on that.
All right, here we go.
Yeah. All right.
Give me your thoughts here. Finally getting back and winning a pennant after a 15-year, I don't want to say drought, that's not fair, but you understand what I'm saying with the gap. How about winning a pennant? How does that mean to you? Let me hear.
It means a lot, and I hate the 15-year thing because it doesn't. It completely forgets and discounts that some other organization cheated us when we were all the way in the end. You know, if you knew what was going on, I don't think they would be advancing at that during that time thing. I think we would have been advancing, so... I hate that 15-year thing because I don't think it accurately reflects history.
One for the Astros.
Boo this man.
Who do you think he was talking about?
If it wasn't for the Astros.
I mean, they lost to the Red Sox.
The Red Sox, yeah.
I mean, they've lost.
I think we know who he's talking about.
No, obviously. listen, they have the right to think that. Like, mm-hmm. In all honesty, like, they have, the Dodgers, Clayton Kershaw had his thing. I think it was last week. They have the right. And mm-hmm. It's kind of the Astros' fault for people saying this. And they have to wear it. Like, they are going to have to wear this. Whatever the Yankees might have done in the past, whatever the Dodgers might have done in the past, we know what the Astros did in the past, and they just have to wear it.
No, you're right about that. The thing that always frustrates me is people in the game will let you know that this is not as uncommon as everybody tried to make it, but you get caught and you do it on this grand of a scale. Mm-hmm. You got to own it, like you said, but... I do hate the people that are in the game then doing the thing where they act like they don't understand that fact of it.
For sure.
You know?
While I think most teams were doing something, I don't think most teams were doing what the Astros
were. No, that's fair. Absolutely.
And I think that's where people have the right to be upset about it. I can't stand the people who justify it. I just can't. And I see that all the time.
Well, you did. What about-ism? What about-ism drives me nuts in every realm.
Listen, they did what they did. They have to wear it. That's just how this goes.
My big thing on this, when I heard it, is first of all, you're about to play a World Series.
Yeah, it's
you know, you're about to play a World Series.
The pettiness is very funny.
Yes.
The pettiness with Clayton Kershaw last week, it was during the NLCS about, the Dodgers having the best 1-2, with Ohtani mm-hmm. and Betts. And Kershaw's like, Altuve and Bregman or whoever he said, except they were cheating.
And then the other thing is, and I've said this from the very start since 2019, and it all came, to air, it's never going to go away.
No.
Ever. If you think it's going to go away, you're wrong. It's never going to go away.
Yeah. And again, it's their fault.
Yeah.
They did it. They had one of their players roll on them, essentially, and that's how it is. And you just hope that, especially in the case of Altuve, because it is well known that he was really one of the guys that didn't have a whole lot to do with it. You hope that they don't have to pay the price when it comes to history, but in all likelihood, they will, and they have nobody to really blame but themselves.
All right, let's move it on to Rockets basketball that gets going tonight. First of all, I do want to circle back a little bit. Your just basic thoughts on the extensions that get done. I know that you were really a proponent of don't give them the max, which they don't end up getting, but kind of the unorthodox or maybe less than typical structure of the Jalen Green deal and then also the Alperen Şengün deal.
Yeah, I think these are the types of contracts that you give out when you have really good players who you think are part of your future, but you have leverage. And mm-hmm. that's what this was. The Rockets had leverage because of restricted free agency. and they did not give in. And they kind of, say, I'm not going to say they signed them to the terms that they wanted, but they didn't go as far as, say, Detroit did with Cade Cunningham, or Cleveland did with Evan Mobley, or Orlando did with Franz Wagner, and even Orlando giving Jalen Suggs $150 million. Like, mm-hmm. I thought both of these contracts were very fair. Obviously, the shorter term for Jalen Green gives him an opportunity. If he pops off and becomes an all-star, then he's able to get into the market a little bit earlier. And then Şengün locks in $185 million.
Which, but it also protects the Rockets, in a sense, if Jalen Green doesn't necessarily work out.
They're still locked into 3 years. Now, I don't...
But it's more of a... And I've said this, and maybe I'm just flat wrong on that. I just think it's a more movable contract.
No, it is.
Yeah.
It is a very tradable contract. Like, yeah. let's say Green has somewhat similar to a season. You know, he takes a couple steps forward to what he did last year. And let's say Phoenix just craters, and you want to go get Devin Booker.
Mm-hmm.
This deal, I think it makes it easier to have Jalen Green as like part of that trade if they ever want to go in that direction. So I think that for them, for both sides, it works out. You don't have to worry about this anymore. You know, it's not something that as a player you have to be stressed out about what your future looks like. And I also want to give credit to Alperen Şengün just for the work that he put in and the maturity that he's shown the last couple of years. This is a guy who was supposed to be a starter. He was supposed to be the starting center going into his second NBA season. Came into camp out of shape. He was really bad in training camp. Somebody with the team told me he was the worst player in the entire world during that training camp. They benched him for a couple of games to kind of send him a message. And you've seen him, the way that he's come into camp the last 2 years, he really got that message. And it's kind of shown just like what he's done on the floor.
So as you head into this game versus the Hornets, I know yesterday you were at practice and Jalen Green put an interesting kind of timeline on, like, hey, these next four games are going to be really insightful. What are you hoping to see from this Rockets team in the first four games of the season?
Well, judging by who they play, they should, if they're serious, like if they are serious about wanting to be a playoff team, they should win all four games. And, you know, you have Charlotte today. That's a game that you should win. Correct. Like if you believe you are the playoff team that you want to be, this is a game you have to win. Memphis on Friday. I don't know. Memphis they're a little banged up. I don't know if Jaren Jackson will be able to play, but that's a game. If you want that's one of the teams that you're competing with for a play-in spot, for a playoff spot in the West. Like that's a game that you should win at home. And then two games against San Antonio. Again, the Spurs are a team that they might be trying to win. They might not be trying to win. But those are two games that you should be able to win if you are really serious about being a playoff team.
One thing I'm looking at, and I want to get your thoughts, is, you know, if they're serious, they become a better road team. They mature and become a team that on the road can kind of withstand, not be as wide-eyed or whatever it was that led to their road troubles. I mean, that's kind of where the season's going to be determined, isn't it?
Well, you got to take care of your home court, and then you've got to be passable on the road. And that's where I don't remember what it was at the start of last year, but they were really bad
at
the start of last season. It did get better as the season went along. I don't know. That's one of those things that you don't really know why it happens. Like, why are the Astros so bad at home during the playoffs? I don't know. It's just one of those things. Maybe it's a routine thing. Maybe it's a youth thing. But yeah, that's obviously you're going to lose some games on the road. You're going to play good teams on the road, and you're probably going to lose those games. But you got to be able to beat the bad teams on the road. Mm-hmm. You have to be able to beat the teams that aren't expected to contend on the road. And that's what they weren't really doing last year, at least early on.
You put up a good piece yesterday on Sports Radio 610 about how the Rockets are really looking to Reed Shepherd to help, take on some of the responsibility that Fred VanVleet has almost shouldered single-handedly in kind of keeping this team organized. Because if you can feel the distinct difference when Fred VanVleet is not the one running the show on the floor. I know that it's crazy early. We haven't even gotten to see him in regular season games. How much responsibility do you think is a fair ask of Reed Shepherd, and what do you think it might look like tonight and early on?
Well, the way that they've been playing it early so far, at least the last couple preseason games, is that Shepherd and Amen Thompson are the first two guys that normally will come off the bench, and it will be Shepherd playing alongside Fred VanVleet early.
Mm-hmm.
And then when VanVleet goes out, it's Shepherd who runs the offense. So he kind of gets to get his feet wet a little bit in the game where he's not running the offense. I think they really like Shepherd and VanVleet together, even though defensively it's not great. But offensively, both guys can handle the ball. Both guys can play off the ball. So I think you're going to see that. And then they want Shepherd, I think, to run the offense when VanVleet is out. And it's really important that the offense survive when that happens, because they leaned on VanVleet, I think, a lot more than they wanted to last year. You look, he played 37 minutes a game. That's the second highest number of his career. He had 19 games last year where he was playing more than 40 minutes. That matched a career high. They don't want to lean on him like that. And they had to, because when he went to the bench, they were bad. And when he did not play, they were bad. The first six games that he missed last year, they were 1-6 in those games. They won the last two games at the end of the year that he missed because they were playing against a couple teams that weren't trying to win. So they need to be able to withstand the minutes when he's not there, and they need to be able to withstand the games when he's not there, because you can't go 1-6 mm-hmm. when he doesn't play. Otherwise, you're going to find yourself on the outside looking in again.
Who has to make the biggest leap?
For me, I think it's probably Jalen Green.
Well, maybe not counting Jalen Green. That's pretty much an obvious one. Everybody's going to be watching, like mm-hmm. outside of Jalen Green.
Probably maybe Jabari Smith, just because he's going to start, and it's a big year for him. He's the guy who's eligible for an extension going into next summer. Mm-hmm. So you want to see a little bit more consistency out of him both on both ends of the floor. And then maybe Amen Thompson. I think Amen Thompson probably has the highest ceiling out of any of their guys. It's just, can he become passable as a shooter?
Yeah.
Whether it's the three-point shot or even the free throws. Like, he didn't shoot free throws well in preseason. You can't have it to where he's, like, afraid to get fouled, because he's good at so many other things. Really good defender. The athleticism is just off the charts, but the shooting is the one thing that kind of holds him back right now.
What's the particular thing or two that you're looking at in this particular game tonight against the Hornets?
I just want to see the offense. I think that this is going to be a really good defensive team. I think they were a top 10 defense last year. They were a bottom 10 offense. I want to see if they can get into the top half of the league in offensive efficiency, just because that's the next step for them, is to be a passable offense. It looked okay in preseason, but now you want to see it like on a regular season stage. Can they move the ball? Can they hit open shots? Can they just look like a better offense than they did last year?
Yeah, and we have you'll keep your eyes on that. I'll also keep my eyes on that tonight, 7 p.m. Toyota Center. The Rockets get going on another season, and it starts tonight. So excited for that. Thank you, Spo. Appreciate you always joining us and having great insight into the Astros, the Rockets, baseball, all of that, man.
Of course.
Yes, sir. That's Adam Spillane. Check him out. Sports Radio 610 as well on the sportsradio610.com. He's writing some good pieces that kind of give you some, keep you insight, or keep you looking at the Rockets in the right way, I think. All right, coming up next, let's go around the NFL, including let's dive more into the DeAndre Hopkins trade. Plus, is Mike Evans out? How long is he out for the Buccaneers? What might that mean? We'll talk about that and more next.